This message was recorded live at Lighthouse Christian Center in Puyallup, Washington, and is designed to inspire and encourage you in your Christian journey. To find out more about Lighthouse, check out our website at www.lighthousehome.org.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. How many times have you had those words spoken to you? Don't worry about it. Well, let me ask you, did it help? Did you stop worrying? Probably not, because these words are easy to say, but they're hard to put into practice, aren't they? Especially these days. I mean, there sure is enough to worry about, isn't there? And, you know, I've really, as I was preparing this message, I always pray. I say, Lord, it's not what do you want me to say? What do you need your people to hear? And I was reflecting on how many times I've heard this phrase the last couple of weeks. I'm so worried. Pastor, I'm so worried. I'm worried that I'm going to lose my job. I'm worried that my husband's going to get laid off. I'm worried how we're going to pay for college and all those FAFSA forms that we have to fill out. I'm worried whether we're going to be able to rent our property. I'm worried whether or not my marriage is going to survive. I'm worried because my car is making funny noises and I don't know what's wrong with it and I don't know if I can afford to fix it. I'm worried about how I'm going to pay my bills. I'm worried that my health isn't going to hold up. I'm worried that these things from my past are, I'm just never going to be able to shake them and they're going to be with me my entire life. And the list goes on and on and on. And listen, we could all probably admit that we could use some help in this area. And Jesus has something to say about living a worry-free life. Does that sound impossible to you? To be able to live a worry-free life? Many people would say that's impossible. And listen, I want to tell you, we may not ever attain perfection, but I do believe that we can go a long way towards reducing the amount of worry that we carry around in our lives. And I got to tell you, it's hard. It's hard to preach a sermon on this because we all struggle with it. There's times that I have carried worry way too long. But you know the other reason why it's hard to preach a sermon on this is because I can look out, even this morning, and I see some people here who have had to go through some things that I have never, ever had to experience. And so it's hard to just say, don't worry. But here's the thing. Friends, worry does nothing for us. Absolutely nothing. Let's get that straight right off the bat. Worry does nothing to help us to cope with the troubles of today. It does nothing to give us greater strength to face life's challenges. It does nothing in helping us overcome trials of life. Worry does absolutely nothing, and yet we tend to carry it around with us, and we just can't seem to get rid of it, and it's just garbage. You know, the comedian Carl Hurley tells a story that the hardest thing to get garbage men to take away is a trash can. Back in the days, you remember we had the old metal trash cans? We'd put them out at the curb, and he had this old trash can he wanted to get rid of. He put it out at the curb, and he came back later that day, and the garbage man, there it was, stacked up with the other trash cans. So the next week, he takes it, he turns it upside down, it's empty. He's thinking, the garbage man can see that the bottom is all rusted out, it's got holes in it, surely they'll take it. He comes home, it's there, stacked right with the other metal trash cans. So the next week, he takes a sledgehammer to the thing and he beats it and dents it, thinking now they'll know it's garbage. He comes back later that day. Not only is the trash can stacked next to his other trash cans, but the garbage man had graciously tried to bend and pry it back into shape. So he did the only thing he could do. He went to the hardware store, he bought a padlock and a chain. He tied it to a front tree in his yard, and sure enough, that night somebody stole it. But you know what? I would say worry is a lot like that trash can. We know that we can get rid of it. We think we should be able to get rid of it. But for some reason, we just can't. It's not that easy. And today, I want us to look at what Jesus says about how not to worry. And I just pray. I've been praying all week. I pray that this message, it's got its downer moments. But overall, I pray that it would be an encouragement to you right where you are today in whatever situation you find yourself facing. Because I believe that these words, God's words, these words from Jesus can help us to find a model as to how to live a life of faith instead of a life of fear. So if you have your Bibles with you, open them to Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. The verses will also be on the screen, and it's also in your bulletin. Now listen, for those of you who have been in the Sermon on the Mount class, or if you know what Jesus has been talking about up to this time, you know, it starts with therefore. Anytime you see therefore, you say, what's it there for? Up until this point, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has been teaching about his kingdom, helping believers to get their perspective right about his kingdom, the kingdom of God. So now he comes in and he says, therefore, do not worry. I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is life not more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. So if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I get an amen every service. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Jesus begins by saying, do not worry. This is written in the imperative form. This is not a suggestion. As you're going through your life and you feel like worrying, you might not want to do that. He says emphatically, do not worry. Now listen, people can tell me, don't worry. And I may not listen to that, but when Jesus says, do not worry, I tend to listen and pay a little bit more attention. Why? Why does Jesus tell us not to worry? What is worry? Well, it's interesting. The Greek word for worry here literally means to strangle or to restrict. To strangle or restrict. Worry is a feeling of uneasiness about an uncertain or threatening future event. But it could also be about a past event. But I want you to know that worry is not the same as concern, okay? Worry is not the same as concern. Listen, here's the difference. Concern says, yep, this is an issue. I know this is an issue I need to deal with. I'm going to work through it. With God's help, I'm going to find a way. That's concern. Worry is quite the opposite. It says, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to get through this. I don't know how I'm going to get through it. I don't know if it's ever going to change. I don't know what's going to happen. I just don't know. The difference between worry and concern is that worry immobilizes you, and concern compels you to action. And I want to emphasize that worry is a sin, friends, plain and simple. It's one of the devil's greatest weapons. Because if we allow it to, it can steal our joy, it can steal our contentment, it can steal our happiness, it can steal our peace. We become so wrapped up in worrying about tomorrow, worrying about yesterday, worrying about all these things that we never find peace for today. And I also want to say, let us be very, very careful as believers, okay? I'm talking about worrying here. I am not talking about anxiety disorders brought on by true physiological and chemical effects by low serotonin levels. I have people who are very near and dear to me who suffer true physiological anxiety. And we have to be careful as believers that we don't always just come in and say, you know, that's a spiritual battle you're fighting. You know, it may be. But what I'm talking about here is worry. Worry is that stuff that we carry around when we fret over things that have never happened or things that we have absolutely no control of. Listen to this. Here's the thing. Statistics, interesting statistics. And I want you to just listen to this. I didn't put it in the bulletin, but I just want you to listen. And I want you to think about which of these relates to you. 40% of the time, 40% of the time, we worry about things that'll never happen. They never happen. They never come to pass. And yet 40% of the time, that's what we worry about. 30% of the time, we worry about things that can't be changed. You have absolutely no control over it, and we worry about it. I found this one to be very interesting. 12% of our worry centers on criticism, mostly unfair, made by other individuals. I thought about that for a minute. You know, when people say things about you, or they hurt you, or they criticize you, is it not true that we kind of worry about how that's going to affect this, that, or the other thing, and we carry that around? 12%. 10% of worry relates to health, which actually worsens the more you worry. So having said all that, 8%, only 8% are legitimate concerns which you can do something about. 8%. So friends, worry is like putting your car in neutral and revving the engine. It puts a lot of wear and tear on your engine. It burns a lot of oil, but it doesn't get you anywhere. That's what worry does. So why? Why does Jesus so strongly admonish us, do not worry? I'm going to tell you, because he loves us. He cares about us. He knows what worry can do. And I'm going to give you a couple of them right now. He tells us not to worry because first and foremost, worry exhibits a lack of trust in God. Plain and simple. I wish that I could put that in a smoother form to make it easier to swallow. But the fact of the matter is, when we worry, we're demonstrating a lack of trust in God. When we trust God, we do not worry. When we worry, we do not trust God. Because here's what happens. When we worry, what we're saying is, I've got a problem. I've got a problem that's just too big for God. That's what worry is. It demonstrates a lack of faith, a lack of trust. Number two, worry affects our relationships. Some of you have shared stories, and I personally will admit, I think all of us are kind of the same way. Some of us are stuffers, or some of us are more, you know, like me, you just get it out there. And, you know, when I'm under stress or anxiety, you know, I recognize that it can put some pressure on the people around me. Some of you have shared, you know, hey, you know, the office knows when I'm stressed, stay away. Don't go in there right now. I had one lady tell me, she said, when she gets stressed out, when she starts to worry, she turns into a bear. I just pictured this big grizzly bear manifesting itself before me. But it affects our relationships. It affects, because we're so consumed with our own worries and our own concerns, that it affects the people around us. And most often, it's the people that we love the most. Number three is, this is why Jesus tells us don't worry, because worry affects and damages our health. You know, I did a lot of reading for personal reasons and also in preparation for this sermon. I was just amazed at the statistics. And without fail, every survey, every study that has been done shows that a great percentage of illnesses are in some way related to worry, to anxiety, and to stress. You know what the number one killer is in America today? It's not road rage. That's third. No, just... Number one killer in America today, heart disease. heart disease. 38% of all deaths are heart-related, and many of those are related to hypertension, high blood pressure, and anxiety. You know, I found it amazing that the biochemistry of the blood and the cells are affected by a worried state of mind. The power of the mind-body connection is amazing. Why do so many scriptures say, therefore be transformed in your what? In your mind. What? From the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, but the mind is the filter. The mind-body connection. When the mind worries, the brain picks up on these signals and produces various electrical and chemical reactions to the body. It is a health issue. And so when we worry, when we carry that around, we can suffer physically from ulcers, insomnia, liver disease, rapid heart rate, and muscle degeneration. Are you feeling encouraged yet? That's what worry does. But you know what, believers? Here's the most, I think one of the most important ones that we need to remember. When we worry, it affects our witness. Man, this hit me really hard in preparation for this message. Worry, when we carry around worry, it affects and it can damage our witness. It hinders our witness. Titus 2:10 tells us that in every way, we need to make the teachings of Jesus more attractive to people. But we don't do that when we worry. Oftentimes what happens is we're carrying around our own worry. We're consumed so much with our own concerns that we don't recognize those opportunities that God has placed in front of us to demonstrate how wonderful and powerful our mighty God is. I mean, think about it. What kind of faith does it reveal to an unbelieving world when someone sees that we are worried about every little detail of our lives? What's wrong? I'm so worried. What does it say about the God that we believe in? It says, I believe in a God that is too small. I believe in a God that doesn't meet my needs. Why would they want to believe in that kind of God? Why would they want to follow that kind of God? It hinders our witness. You know, April and I have dear friends right here in this church. The husband has been unemployed for almost a year. And each and every week they submit a prayer request. And it's such a blessing to pray for them. Why? Because not only, yes, they pray that God would open doors for the right job. And he's out there. I mean, he's not just sitting at home waiting for something to happen. He's out there. He's on the website, on the web, and he's looking for jobs. But the prayer request is this, that God would use this time to strengthen and deepen their dependence on him, and that God would put people into their path that they can witness to. And just yesterday, he was over at the house picking up his daughter. And he said, let me tell you about this cool thing that happened. He had two opportunities to witness to unbelievers where they said, how come you're so calm? Aren't you worried about it? Aren't you stressed out? They actually use that word, aren't you worried? And he was able to tell them, no, because let me tell you how God is providing for us. Let me tell you what I believe about my God. Let me tell you what he's done for us in the past. So when we worry, friends, it really hinders our witness. It reveals a picture either of an insufficient God or a God who really knows us, loves us, and cares for us. I see my friend Alice back there. Alice, I don't mean to single you out, but you know, with health issues, the same thing. Alice, I just love you so much. I've seen her faith just grow and her take the opportunities. You know, I might have cancer again. But you know what? Bring it on, because whatever it is, I know God is with me. And he's delivered me before, and I believe he can deliver me again. And she has this incredible peace and resolve and joy as she grows in that faith. And it's an incredible witness, not only to unbelievers, but to us as believers. Just spend a moment with Alice and listen. Your problems will just shrink down like that, okay? So that's why Jesus worries us, or warns us. Jesus doesn't worry. Jesus warns us against worrying. But what causes worry? Well, listen, I could go around right now and everybody could raise their hand and, you know, shout out what they're worried about. There's a lot of things that can cause us to worry, but I think there's three key things that we need to be aware of. We need to be on guard for. The first one is the affluence of our age contributes a lot to our worrying. The affluence of our age. Ecclesiastes 5:12 says, the sleep of a laborer is sweet, whether he sleeps, eats little or much, but the abundance of a rich man permits him no sleep. Isn't it true? We think that the more things that we have, the more security there is. That's what we're seeing today. Oh, I am at peace. I don't have anything to worry about because I've got retirement and I've got my investments and I've got my college fund and I've got all this and I've got my income and I've got my house and I've got all these things. And we think that the more stuff we have, the less we have to worry. But it's actually the opposite. Affluence actually leads to more worry. It's like the guy who's in the car accident. And he's out after the car accident. He's kind of wandering around. He's like, my BMW. And the police officer says, buddy, you got more important things to worry about. You lost your arm in the accident. And he looks down and he goes, my Rolex. Bad, I know. But it illustrates a point. Our perspective is wrong. We put our cares and concerns in the things that we have. So do you worry about your stuff? You know, we just finished this great series by Pastor Art on our stuff. And even last week, Art reminded us that the more debt one has, the more stress they carry around. Do you worry about those things? Is that something that you're worried about today? Are you worried about how you're going to keep those things? Are you worried about what you're going to wear? Are you worried about what you're going to eat? Are you worried about what you're going to drive? The more we have, the more we tend to worry about. That's one big cause of worry. But another one is, quite honestly, the messages that we receive. The messages we receive. Man, think about it. CNN, headline news, Fox News, live streams, global news, world news, radio, newspaper, all of them bring to us every moment the troubles of this world. I came down yesterday afternoon. I just hit power on the TV. First thing that comes up was, it was on Fox News from the night before. 780,000 Americans lost their job in January, and we've reached an all-time high of 11.3 million people unemployed. I was like, wow, that's staggering. You read the news, more layoffs, Boeing, Microsoft, Home Depot, Starbucks. Oh, no. sorry, I mean, I'm not making light of it. It's just, it can be scary. And, you know, it's even in the advertisements. I'm really kind of getting tired of, you know, if I hear one more announcer promoting a product that starts out this way, you know, in today's economy, Everybody's feeding off of that. Everybody's talking about it. And I'm not saying that we put on our Pollyanna glasses, but we've got to be aware that the messages that we receive, friends, especially from the news, you've got to know that 99% of the time they're always going to focus on the negative. I mean, come on, we live here in Seattle. Just look at the weather. They say 10% chance of rain. Do they ever say it's 90% chance sunny? No. It's always looking at the negatives. So because of the events and circumstances constantly surrounding us and the messages we are always receiving about how bad things are, we tend to worry. And you know what? That can also happen with the people around us. We have to be careful of the people that we surround ourselves with because other people can send messages that cause us to worry. I've seen Christians, well-intentioned Christians who have faith in God and want to stand firm and kind of like me, you know, I'm usually pretty upbeat. My mom always said, God didn't make you with an off switch. Although as I get older, I don't have an off switch, I have a dimmer. But I found that I too can be affected. I can be affected by those naysayers. It's kind of like, you know, the person, you know who I'm talking about. The person, I love Reese's peanut butter cups. Yeah, well, I hope you don't die from salmonella with that peanut butter. It's like, wah, wah. You know, thank you very much. So we have to be careful. And we have to be on guard of the messages that we receive and how that's affecting us. But the third thing that causes us to worry is the pace of our life. The pace of our life. Everything's so fast. Isn't that true? Cell phones, everything. Even today, I can get everything. I don't have one, but I could, you know, on my BlackBerry. You know, I can get TV episodes, movies, live streams, emails, pages, calls, everything. 24/7, we could be available. We seldom relax. We seldom relax. And that's why it was so important for me today. I felt so convicted. I asked Adam, I don't even want any background music. Let's just spend some time in silence with the Lord. Wasn't that refreshing? Some people are saying, no, it felt like an eternity. It's because you don't know what silence sounds like. But I seriously doubt that God ever intended our nervous systems to go through the kind of pace of life that we put them through. That's why he called for a mandatory day of rest. You know, John 14:1, Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me." Can you say that your heart is not troubled? Philippians 4:6-7, beautiful verses. Hang on to them. Write them down. Memorize them. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything. Underline that word. Everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace, here's the promise, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. Can you say today that there's nothing that you're anxious about? Is there something that you're carrying, that you're worried about? Well, what do Jesus' words teach us about living a worry-free life? And you know, friends, I have to tell you honestly, in preparing this message, I really fought the temptation to do what I read so much of out there. 5 quick steps to stop worrying. 10 easy ways to stop worrying. I just felt like all that does is burden us with another checklist. And I just poured over the word. Lord, what are you saying in these words? I trust you, Jesus. I know that you don't command us to do something and then just leave us wondering how to do it. You tell us how. So I want to leave us with 2 practical ways that I believe that we can begin to experience victory over worry. And the first one is, Jesus tells us, remember your Father. Remember your Father and remember his faithfulness. Look at what Jesus says in verse 26 on your outline. He says, "Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them." Verse 32, Jesus tells us that your heavenly Father knows. He even knows what you need. See, we need to remember. We need to remember the wonderful providence of God and to trust in that. Birds trust God to supply their needs. But he doesn't just come along and plop worms in their mouth, does he? No, trust is not apathy. Faith is an action verb. We either have faith or we don't. We put that faith into action when we trust that God is who he says he is. That what he promises to do, he will do. It means that we come to that point that we know that God will provide everything that we need. Not what we want, but what we need. I love Matthew 10:29-31. It puts it another way. Jesus says, "Are not 2 sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows." Wow. How important are we? Think about our Father. How important are we to God that he even knows the number of hairs on our head? We don't even know that. Although some of us have a close estimation. Do you realize how valuable we are to our Father? He loves you. He cares for you. He didn't just create you and then check out. He knows what you need. He created you. Psalm 103:14 says, "For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust." You know, think about it. Guys especially, think about a half-ton truck or a one-ton truck. Who puts that specification on that truck, that it's a half-ton truck or a one-ton truck? Is it the dealer? No. Is it the paint guy? No. Is it the mechanic? No. It's the designer of that truck, right? The designer knows exactly what that truck can carry. And in the same way, God, who knew you as he knit you together in your mother's womb, he knows how much you can handle. He knows what you can carry. And he is faithful to provide. Psalm 73, 26 says, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. That's saying it doesn't matter what happens. My health may fail, right, Alice? My heart may fail. My health may fail, but God is my strength and my provider forever. But it's a step of faith, friends. Remember, if you've ever heard me preach, you've probably heard me say this before. And I really believe this. We don't need more faith. We need faith more often. We either have faith or we don't. So I have faith. It's not blind faith. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in God. So now it's a matter of putting that faith into action in every circumstance of my life. You know, when I lost my job, many of you have heard this before, but when I lost my job 5 years ago, it was not just a peaceful, hey, we don't need you anymore. Thanks for everything. Here's your watch. It was hurtful. It was painful. It was stressful. The rug was ripped out from under my feet. And I got to tell you that after the first reaction, which was relief, that's another story. And that was so short. I'm going to be honest with you. The first reaction that I had when that happened to me was fear, panic, and anxiety, followed closely by depression. These are the thoughts that went through my head. Where are we going to live? How am I going to take care of my family? What am I going to do? What if we have to move? How are we going to keep the girls in the school where they are, where they're thriving so much? We can't afford that. How are we going to? And it just started to compound and compound and compound. How am I going to get around? Because I lost the company car. It was just everything, just health benefits, everything. Many of you are in that same place. And there was a moment where I was laying in bed and I was just numb. And I just said to God, God, I can't even pray right now. I just need to hear from you. And he spoke Psalm 40. Not the whole Psalm, because he just said Psalm 40. And I was like, Psalm 40, I don't know what that is. Did I hear you right, Lord? You know, you kind of play that game. Was that really from you, or did I make that up thing, you know, when you hear from the Lord? And he just said it again. It was the voice of the Lord, Psalm 40. So I got up for the first time in 3 days. I got up out of bed and I went downstairs. I opened the Bible and I just wept. I just wept. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit and he set my feet on solid ground. And it was at that moment that God spoke to me. I remembered who my Father is. I remembered that he was aware of the circumstances of my life. I remembered and I began to recount all the ways. It goes on in Psalm 40. Oh, Lord, if I were to recount all the things that you have done for me, there wouldn't be enough time to go into it. And I began to remember all the times that we had been in similar places. Not quite like that. But you know those times when we were newly married and we opened up our cabinets and it was just the black and white generic food, for those of you who remember those days. The time that April and I didn't know where our next meal was coming from, and so we went to Chi-Chi's. It's a Mexican chain on the East Coast, and every Friday night they had the beans and the cheese and the rice and chips and salsa, all for free. It was cocktail hour, and we ordered Pepsis for $1. We got a meal for $2. And he reminded me of all those things. And in reminding me of those things, he said, look, see who I am. See what I have done. Remember how I have cared for you. So friends, it's good for us right now, today. If you're at a place where you come in here and you're so worried about your current circumstances, to look back and remember how God has provided for you. Stop for a moment. Instead of worrying about tomorrow, look back and look at the faithfulness of our loving Father. And then take another step. Lean on him again. Trust in him. Proverbs 3, 5, 6. Lean not. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. And in all your ways, acknowledge or thank him, and he will make your path straight. So it's not a formula. It's a relationship. It's a relationship with a loving Father. Remember who he is. Remember his faithfulness. And then the second one, I guarantee this one will come after you do one, is remember to keep your focus. Remember to keep your focus. Jesus gives us the best way to overcome worry right here in verse 33. He says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. See, when we're worried, we're out of focus. What happens is we worry about all these things. We try to put other things in first, and then we try to insert God later. But friends, God doesn't want to have a prominent place in your life. He wants to be preeminent in your life. Means he wants to reign over every area of our lives. And I have learned in my own life that sometimes what God is going to do is he's going to use circumstances. He's going to use loss. He's going to use loving discipline to strip some things away until I learn to surrender every part of my life to him so that he is preeminent. And in those areas where he's preeminent, oh, he is faithful to provide. We got to get our focus straight. So what Jesus is saying here is focus on my kingdom. You take care of my business and I'll take care of yours. He's saying, look, either we have faith and trust in God. As believers today, we can choose. I'm either going to be a believer and I'm going to believe and trust in God, or I'm going to be a pagan and run after these things. The three things Jesus mentions here, eat, drink, and wear, were all symbols of wealth and fame. And Jesus is saying, our focus is completely out of whack. We're looking at the earthly things, not the eternal things. Look at what it says in 2 Corinthians 4:18. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. If I knew that my house was going to burn down tomorrow, first thing, I'd make sure nobody was home. But if I knew my house was going to burn down tomorrow, do you really think that I would spend as much time decorating it or worrying about fixing it up? Now listen, guys, that's not your excuse not to do what your wife asked you today, okay? But in all seriousness, do you think the things that we worry about today, 10 years from now, 50 years from now, 100 years from now, that it's really going to matter? That's why he says don't worry about tomorrow. But I think what happens is we become so overwhelmed with the what ifs. What if this? What if this? What if this? I just talked to a lady after church and she said, what if, you know, I know that I don't need to worry about it. I just need to go and do it. But what if she, you don't know. Deal with that as it happens. Pray about it beforehand. Pray about what are some of the things that might happen. But it just compounds all these what ifs. We lose perspective. It's like the fog that we experienced this morning. Have you ever driven in fog? It can be overwhelming. It can be scary. You're afraid that you might run into somebody in front of you. But you know what's really interesting? You know how much actual water is in fog? If you covered 7 city blocks 100 feet deep with fog, you know how much water that is? It's less than an 8-ounce glass of drinking water. And that's the perspective that we need with our worries. Our worries can cripple us. And maybe that's where you are today. Maybe you're here and you're overwhelmed by the what-ifs of your life and you just can't seem to shift your focus. You know, I'll never forget that day after I lost my job. April said, come on, honey, we need to go for a walk. And we were walking down the sidewalk holding hands and we're just talking. And this was after my Psalm 40 experience. And she said, tell me, what are you worried about? Which is really interesting because usually I'm the calm one and April carries a lot of the worry. And I began to tell her all the things. What if this? What if this? And you know, guys, one of the things I was worried about is I'm supposed to be my family's provider, right? Wrong. God says, no, they belong to me. I'm their provider. I've just blessed you with such a beautiful wife and girls, but they don't belong to you. And as I was sharing all this, I will never forget. April stopped walking and I stopped and she just turned and she said, look at me. And I looked her in the eyes and she said, you need to remember what's important here. She helped me get my focus. She said, Paul, we have an amazing faith in an amazing God. Look at all that he's done for us. She said, we have our health. We have a place to sleep. And then she said, but most importantly, she said, you have the love of your wife and 2 beautiful girls. And no matter what you do, or how much money you make, it doesn't matter. Nothing can change our love for you. I made it through the other services. and Friends, what God's saying in that is, remember how much God loves you. Nothing can change. Nothing can separate us from the love of God found in Christ Jesus. And when April shared that with me, that's when I remembered those words from Psalm 121. It was at that moment that I completely surrendered it all. I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So friends, it's true. It's true. There's a lot to worry about these days. But God is the one who created the universe. He has all things at his disposal. There is nothing beyond his ability because he's all powerful. And I want you to know that God knows every detail of your life and your life and your life. He's omniscient. And because he knows all these things, he is saying, don't worry about these things. Instead, remember all that I've done for you. Remember whose you are. Remember who I am. Remember what's important. Remember what I've provided. Seek me. Trust me. Give it to me, and I will take care of you. Oh, don't you know how valuable you are to me, you of little faith? I love you more than the lilies in the field and the birds in the air. So today, as we close in prayer, you can make a decision right now to give over that one thing or many things that has really been worrying you. Make this the day that you give it over to God, that you cast your cares upon him, that you put your trust in him, and you know that all things will work for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Put that faith into action today and experience the peace that passes all understanding as we win over worrying.
We trust you are inspired and challenged by this message. For additional resources and information about Lighthouse Christian Center and its ministries, check out our website at www.lighthousehome.org or contact us at 253-848-2028.